join together with all these people and get out in the streets and keep in the streets and keep going, keep jawboning our neighbors and our acquaintances and our friends and our family and our coworkers, writing letters to the editor, running for office, run for local office, go get a seat on some local committee, get appointed to some local commission. And stop supporting failure. Start supporting success. Be ready to win. Try to win. Go out there to win. This is the sort of stuff we need to do. And if we keep working, look, it's taken an ungodly 6 years for people to realize just what kind of a bald-faced liar this Bush administration is in total. Okay? But people are realizing it. Think victory. Think real. And don't reward failure at this stage of the game. Whatever you do, don't go out of there out of fear and say, oh, I'm going to vote for Lieberman because otherwise some Republican's going to win. Well, you know, what the freaking difference is there? Absolutely unreal. But we can win. That's right. Oh, coming up to the end of the night here, I guess. Just as a reminder, Head On Radio Network is made possible by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Go, brother. And also, coming up right after we go off the air here, it's Bruce Birch and All Things Reconsidered. Hey, you know, I'm feeling good about the future. I'm feeling good about the Green Party. I'm feeling good about life and even one or two Democrats. It's been a pleasure talking to everybody. That's me for a Sunday night. All I want to leave it with you guys is just have a peaceful evening and to once again steal my friend Tom Hartman's phrase, tag, you're it. Bye now.
Head On Radio News. I'm Bob Kincaid. Iraqi Shiites are blaming the U.S. military for killing as many as 20 worshippers Sunday in gun battles around a Baghdad mosque. Some witnesses say that's not quite correct. They say the innocent civilians were caught in a crossfire between Iraqi militia headed by Muqtada al-Sadr and U.S. troops. Elsewhere, dozens of bodies were found in Baghdad. The victims had been beheaded. Gas pump groans got a little worse in the past couple of weeks around the United States. The price for a gallon of regular unleaded jumped 15 cents per gallon over the last 14 days. The average price per gallon stands at $2.50. The Lundberg survey says some of the price increases are coming from the Bush administration's energy giveaway bill signed last August. The United States Senate will look into censuring George Bush in the coming week. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter announced Friday that a hearing on Senator Russ Feingold's censure resolution will be held on Friday, March 31st. Specter agreed to the hearing after Feingold said he'd take the resolution to the floor for a full Senate vote otherwise. True to form, the racist backlash has begun following Saturday's marches for immigrant justice. Colorado Republican Congressman Tom Tancredo told a Denver newspaper that the protests would have been smaller if only immigration officials had checked IDs and hauled off the illegal ones. 50,000 people turned out in Denver Saturday to protest Republican policies that would make criminals out of some of America's hardest working people. And speaking of racists, Supreme Court Justice Tony Scalia doesn't think human rights apply to prisoners in the U.S. concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. That's the word in an article published Sunday in Newsweek. In a private appearance in Switzerland on March 8th, Scalia called Europeans who object to the U.S. concentration camp, quote, hypocrites. When asked if the concentration camp survivors deserved a fair trial, Scalia responded, quote, give me a break, unquote. Scalia will sit in judgment on an appeal of Guantanamo prisoners' rights in the coming months. And poor Terri Schiavo's family has resurrected the war of words that swirled around her death. Books will debut this week by both sides of the controversy. Terry Schiavo's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Schindler, returned to their long-disproven libels, accusing their former son-in-law of abusing the brain-dead woman. Terry Schiavo's parents and brother sold the list of people who sent them notes of condolence to a right-wing marketing firm. This is News on the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. This is from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored, hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism, and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair will do his best George Bush impression Monday in Australia. Blair is slated to deliver an address to the Australian Parliament in Canberra. Advance reports say that he will tell the Australians that they must continue to fight and die in the illegal war that he and George Bush started. Moderate Islamic clerics in Afghanistan may not get to execute a Christian after all. Sources close to the tense situation say that the prosecutor in the case may withdraw the charges of apostasy for lack of evidence. Other sources say the court will find Rahman to be incompetent to stand trial. There's also speculation that the man will be sent into exile. No one knows yet why Mary Winkler shot her fundamentalist preacher husband, but we do know she's sorry. Mrs. Winkler sent a note of apology to her husband's congregation Sunday. Pam Killingsworth said Sunday that Mrs. Winkler gave her a note saying she was sorry for everything she had done. Mary Winkler has confessed to shooting her husband, Matthew, in the back. Police will only say that infidelity was not the motive. The Winklers had three young daughters. It's a new week and time for a new story of Republican sleaze. A former aide to Tom DeLay was apparently his own favorite charity. Former DeLay Chief of Staff Edwin Buckham created a charity called U.S. Family Network and promptly gave a third of the donations the group received to himself and his wife. That third came to over $1 million. Buckham created the sham charity while he was still working for DeLay. Almost all the donations came from clients of Jack Abramoff. And finally, the few, the proud, the geriatric. Sonia Goldstein of San Diego recently got a letter from the Marine Corps encouraging her to sign up with the Corps. The Marines said they could use her language skills. The only problem? She's 78 years old. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Another week. This is Bruce Birch. And you are listening to All Things Reconsidered. This is Bruce Birch. Glad to have you back with us again for another week. What a wonderful night we're going to have tonight. We've got a special guest coming up later on in the program, but in the name of Mr. Matthew Rothschild, who is the editor of the Progressive magazine, and he'll be with us later on to discuss impeachment. And we're going to be talking about impeachment pretty much, we're going to try to do it all night tonight. But we'll discuss maybe even a little bit of the censure situation as well. I really wanted to also, before I get started too much here, want to mention some other housekeeping things that are going on. And that is that we've got, we are being brought to you by, under the auspices of the Head On Radio Network, and Bob Kincaid, the producer there. Thank you, Bob, for handling that. And we're also being, the Head On Radio Network itself is being brought to you courtesy of the West Virginia Council of the Carpenters and Millwrights. So, big thank you to them, and also to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for managing the stream. Thank you very much for those guys. Now, also, if you want to get in on the program later on, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. I had a little bit of a technical difficulty there for a moment. It's gone away now. It's distracting. You can call that number, and you can get in right in on the program. Also, you can call, or excuse me, you can email me at allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And you can also come and chat in our live chat room. Now, this is the first week that we have that we have been chatting in the brand new, brand spanking new chat room at headonradionetwork.com. And if you're not there, then I would very much recommend that you try to come in and chat with us there. It's headonradionetwork.com, and then you click on live chat, or chat room, I believe it is, and it'll shoot you right into the chat room. You do have to do a little register thing, but it only takes a couple of seconds. And that will get you right into to our chat room. I'm being heckled by Rama in the chat room right now. He's telling me that I just had a brain fart or something. Yeah, it was both of those. It was a technical difficulty and it was a brain fart. as usual every week, we try to raise the discourse of what's going on around the world and talk about the things that are most topical. And one of the things that is topical this week is the whole censure situation. You know, Russ Feingold came out last week and did an impassioned speech on the Senate floor, and we talked about what he was going to say last week here, actually. And what he did was, he basically called the president a criminal. It's difficult to call the president a criminal and not have half of Congress get in an uproar over it. And half of Congress got into an uproar over it. Now, which half? You guess which half. The half that would follow this president to, the edge of the cliff and jump off if he said, y'all need to jump now. Y'all need to jump. Okay, so that's what you have. But then there are, and the other part of it is that the other half didn't support him, though. The other half, which is the half that we supposedly on our side, the left side — this is a left-leaning program for those of you who are listening — the left side of the aisle bailed on him. There's only two senators that I can think of that are actually supporting him on this, and originally they didn't support him either. So he was out there Mr. Lone Wolf Feingold. I was thinking of a movie, Lone Wolf McQuaid, I think that was like Chuck Norris or somebody, but Lone Wolf Feingold is out there. Meanwhile, fully half of the nation is okay with the idea of impeachment, which is more than ever we're okay with the impeachment of Bill Clinton. So, I guess I'm a little confused. It's like this is the left is being very schizophrenic right now. While we have fully half of the nation — now, not half of Democrats, but half of the nation — is saying that if the president broke the law, he needs to, be held accountable for it. why won't the Senate Democrats stand up and say, well, at least the least we can do is support censure? Why? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I have some sneaking suspicions, and I'm sure you do too, of why this is. You know, at some point in the very, hopefully in the near future, we'll see, though. I'd love to get Mr. Feingold on this radio program and tell him what a ballsy guy I think he is. Because for anyone to stand out there and do, you know, he did what needed to be done. Now, he pulled an Al Gore on us because Al Gore, you know, when nobody was saying the I word, in Washington until Al Gore went to the Constitution Hall there and essentially, danced around the topic while he was speaking very forcefully. But he danced around the topic. But everybody knew what he was talking about. He was talking about impeachment. Now, Mr. Bush has broken the law so many times it's hard to even keep up with it. Now, you know, the Constitution talks about high crimes, I believe bribery and misdemeanors. Well, we're going to be talking with Matt Rothschild in a little while about impeachment and about whether or not this president has risen to the level or lowered himself to the level, as the case may be, to the level of impeachment, whether or not his actions actually warrant impeachment. And if so, we might even talk a little bit about what the process then would be for those of you who aren't aware. I will tell you this, that John Conyers will figure heavily into this should this happen after the elections this fall. But before we get too far into the impeachment and the censure and all that good stuff, I wanted to throw some things out there. You know, yesterday there was a huge amount of protests nationwide about the immigration law that was passed by the House of Representatives back in December and is now going to be debated on the floor of the Senate this week. 500,000 people, and this was a police estimate, 500,000 people marched in L.A. against this law. And I wanted to say this. I just want to say this about that. And that is, you know, there are 11 million undocumented immigrants in our nation. That's 11 million criminals, 11 million felons that would be immediately created by the passage of this law. So I would recommend, if you have anything, if you are into human rights at all, I would recommend that you call your congressman or your senator, excuse me, not your congressman, because they sort of bailed on us with this one. But call your senator and let them know that you are absolutely opposed to this law. You know, if you are at all in favor of human rights, then please do that. You can go to headonradionetwork.com, and on the very front page is a very, very good essay by our friend Bob Kincaid. And in this essay, he talks about some of the legalities. Now, just wanted to mention also that we are being streamed around the world by the White Rose Society and also by the Last Radio Station down in Greenville, North Carolina, where he simultaneously terrestrial broadcasts this program. So thank you, Keith Lake, for what you're doing down there. And I wanted to plug that radio station. You can Google the Last Radio Station, and that'll get you right over to his website and onto his stream. I think it's a Windows Media stream that you can pick up there. So you know what? Go to headonradionetwork.com, come to our chat room, go check out that essay, and definitely would love to hear you on the air also. You can call 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. We're going to take a very quick break here, and we'll be right back. This is Bruce Birch with All Things, and we'll be back shortly.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Mm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Friends, drugs and alcohol were the only friends I had. Then a real friend got me into a treatment center. It wasn't easy. Drug and alcohol addiction is a horrible disease. But I got better. I got my friends back, and I got my life back. Treatment taught me what a true friend really is.
For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP.
All right, dear heart, tell me what's the reason. This is Bruce Birch. This is All Things with Bruce Birch. And, all right, you can go ahead and pot that down if you'd like there. Thank you. All right, yeah, this is back. We're back with All Things with Bruce Birch. We are being remotely produced in the wild, wonderful hills of West Virginia by head on at the studios, the undisclosed studios of the Head On Radio Network. Do have a caller already on the line. My good friend Luke from, I believe, Knoxville is on the line. And, Luke, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, I was telling Bob the story that got to me this weekend, and if you watch the Sunday shows, nobody mentioned it, of course, was this story come out about Mama Bush laundering money.
Oh, yes.
Where she's running some money through a Katrina fund that amazingly is all winding up in Neil's pockets.
Well, isn't that interesting? Why can't you just write him a check like most normal parents?
Well, this way you understand it's all tax-free.
Ah.
Because it's going through a charity. But she was able to earmark it all going into Neil's project, which is, amazingly enough, somehow tied to the Katrina fund. One of the comedians or somebody I heard talking about said, yeah, that's right, we all saw those people on the rooftops in New Orleans saying, please send us educational software, you know.
Yeah, I remember those signs.
Yeah.
They didn't say save us. It didn't say out of water. It said, please send us educational software, preferably from Neil Bush's company.
Which, amazingly enough, I heard somebody else talking about, said, oh, amazingly enough, you get a ton of Neil stuff, and most of this company is getting a whole lot of money from someplace called the UAE.
Wait a minute. Isn't that wonderful, magical land of port managers?
Yes, that's them. Now, can you imagine? I always call this Alan Dershowitz's argument, the left foot argument. You know, imagine the shoe on the other foot. Imagine what would happen if, say, Bill Clinton was running some money through something, giving it to Roger, running through a charity. We would have 10 investigations going. There'd be a fight to see who gets to investigate it first.
Well, you know, they finally concluded the Whitewater investigation, I want to say, about 2 weeks ago.
But as Bob says, until the watermelon man decides to go back in his backyard with a shotgun again, you know how it is, and they decide to reopen Vince Foster's case one more time. I have no doubt they'll figure out some way to do it before they're all done.
Yes.
When you listen to Fox every time, if you ever turn over to Fox, which I don't advise you to do, but if you ever, like, read NewsHounds and find out what they're up to, every time, amazingly enough, everything in the world seems to come back to Bill Clinton. Somehow he's at the center of the universe. You know how it is. Anything's gone wrong? Well, hell, Bill Clinton did it, you know. It's like they used to say, you know, said, what was it? Everything that happened to him that was good was accident. Everything that happened bad, he was up nights planning it. You know how it is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, that's the right ring for you. You know, we can't do any good and they can't do any bad, right?
That's right. I mean, well, if we do any good, it's all total accident. That, you know, we never planned it, of course.
Had Bill Clinton come out and said, "Oh, yes, I am illegally wiretapping people, and I don't care what you think, I'm going to do it anyway,"
and we're going to keep right on doing it too,
I think they would have showed up with, you know, and taken him off in shackles.
Well, let's put it this way: they probably said, "Send out the army. We have to blow him out of the White House."
Exactly.
I mean, it's just amazing to see the hypocrisy. Well, you were talking about a minute ago about the impeachment. Every time anybody gets on the air, anybody ought to call in to one of these, if you hear one of these right wingers on, and just start chanting, rule of law, rule of law.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what they chanted, you know what I mean, during the 90s.
Sure.
Ought to turn it right back on them.
Sure was, because they were like, oh, it's not about the fact that he had, an affair. It's about the fact that, you know, he lied in front of the grand jury. You know, and
even though
it's like,
he tricked him in front of the grand jury and used every legal trick to make sure he had to appear.
Exactly. You know, Arlen Specter, who's the chair of the Judiciary Committee, who's the head of the Judiciary in the House? I think it's Sensenbrenner, isn't that right?
Yeah, oh gosh.
I mean, these guys are thugs, man.
Oh, I want nothing more than just to take the House back, just so I can hear John Conyers tell James Sensenbrenner to sit down and shut up. I know,
well,
Mr. Conyers would never do that, but no. You know what I mean. I'd like to just walk over there and disconnect his microphone and walk back and sit down.
You know, you never know. That may very well happen after November. You know, we may see the. I'd love to see the House Republicans get relegated to a coat closet in the basement of the Capitol to have hearings. Wouldn't that be poetic justice?
I'd enjoy that.
Luke, thanks so much for calling tonight.
Thanks, Ruth. Y'all have a good evening.
Yeah. Please do keep tuning in. We're going to be having Matt Rothschild on here shortly.
Tell you one thing. I really enjoyed Molly Ivins' last one, this thing about forget the D.C. Dems. That was a really good article.
I'm sure he may be listening now. So,
yeah. All righty.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Have a great weekend. Bye. All right, that was my friend Luke from Knoxville. Yes, and my good friend, my producer, is saying we should start sending bacon to Sensenbrenner. Just a little bit of a hint. This is All Things with Bruce Birch. You can call in by dialing 1-877-443-2366. Please do give us a ring. We'll be right back right after this break.
In a grave caused by jealousy.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Last week, Bush came out with his new national security strategy, much like the old one. It hypes the threat from a weaker power, this time Iran, and hints broadly at war. This belligerent document says we may face no greater challenge from a single country than from Iran. But Iran doesn't have any nuclear weapons today. We've got 10,000. Still, Bush keeps warning that Iran with a single nuclear weapon could blackmail America. That's an odd extortion. A lot of people don't seem to be taking this new document and Bush's heightened rhetoric seriously. They see the mess he's made in Iraq. They recognize how stretched thin our military is. They know how discredited we've become in the world's eyes. And so they conclude that Bush couldn't possibly attack Iran. But listen, it's not a good idea to bet on Bush to be prudent and logical. We've seen this play before and we know how it ends. Bush says of Iran, as he did of Iraq, that he's trying diplomacy first. This was a charade then. It's a charade now. When Bush says this diplomatic effort must succeed if confrontation is to be avoided, what he's really saying is confrontation is coming. Let's not lull ourselves into believing otherwise. Instead, let's do everything in our power nonviolently to forestall it. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
All right, you're listening to All Things with Bruce Birch. My name is Bruce Birch. I am your host for the evening, and as I am each and every Sunday night from 10 until midnight on the East Coast, 7 until 9 on the West Coast, and, you know, all the different points in between. I mentioned earlier that I would have on the program tonight a very special guest who is the editor of the Progressive magazine. Matthew Rothschild has been with the Progressive since 1983. His McCarthyism Watch web column has chronicled more than 150 incidents of repression since 9/11. His exclusive web commentaries, This Just In, run on the website several times a week, Monday through Friday. He also does the two-minute web radio commentaries that you hear on this program, and they're also available on the Progressive website, which is at progressive.org. He also co-founded and directs the Progressive Media Project. The Progressive currently has a circulation of about 80,000 readers and is based in Madison, Wisconsin. Matt Rothschild, welcome to All Things with Bruce Birch. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Bruce. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on with us. And, I wanted to talk a little bit about impeachment because you wrote an article recently called Grounds for Impeachment. And I kind of, if you could you give us a quick lay out the grounds for us?
Yeah, well, I think there are ample grounds for impeaching George W. Bush. I mean, think back how silly it was to impeach Bill Clinton for the very minor things he was doing compared to what this president has done. Let me just rip them off real quick. One is the Iraq War, and there are two aspects to that one. The first was waging a war of aggression, which is against the UN Charter, against the Nuremberg Principles. And the UN Charter is a signed treaty. Treaties are the supreme law of the land. Bush can't violate that treaty. The other thing about the Iraq War was Bush's deceptions and lies leading into the Iraq War. That was a way of really subverting the Constitution and also of committing a fraud or conspiracy to commit a fraud against the U.S. government and against the American people. So that's one. The second one is the detention policy of U.S. citizens and others, both here and abroad. Bush has detained U.S. citizens without actually due process rights. He and Ashcroft detained about 5,000 Arabs and Muslims in the United States and deprived them of their due process rights. Then there's the detentions overseas. 14,000 Iraqi men are being held right now indefinitely, some of them without access to any contacts whatsoever. The CIA is holding people in detention overseas and is never going to release them until they die, according to James Risen's book, State of War, James Risen, New York Times correspondent. Then there's the torture scandal itself, of course, the torturing of people not only at Abu Ghraib, but at Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan and also down in Guantanamo Bay. It's not just a torture scandal, actually. It's a homicide scandal, since U.S. personnel have committed, according to the Army itself, at least 24 homicides. Maybe even more than that, according to some human rights groups. This torture follows directly from George W. Bush's policy of saying that the Geneva Conventions don't apply in certain circumstances, and he can't do that. It violates not only Geneva Conventions, but the Convention Against Torture, the War Crimes Statute, and the Anti-Torture Statute here in the U.S. So that's the third ground. The fourth ground is the most obvious one, and that's this spying scandal, the NSA spying scandal, domestic warrantless spying on U.S. citizens. George W. Bush essentially admitted it, and that's what John Dean said from Watergate fame, that this was the first time a president actually admitted to committing an impeachable offense. Bush said he's not going to obey the FISA law. And, you know, we can't have a president who says, I'm going to obey some laws when I want to and disobey them when I feel like it. That's not our system of government. So that, in a nutshell, is the grounds for impeachment.
Wow. That's great, Matt. Matt Rothschild. I just wanted, you covered so much in such a short period of time. It's hard to. Let me just ask you this: when we went to Iraq, now resolution, I think it was 1441. Isn't that correct?
Right.
Did that not authorize us or authorize military intervention there?
Yeah, the resolution, the October 2002 resolution by Congress, was an abdication of Congress's constitutional duties under Article 1, Section A of the Constitution that give to Congress the sole power to declare war. Basically, what Congress said at that time was that President Bush could decide unilaterally whenever he wanted to go to a war against Iraq, so long as he determined that going through the United Nations was no longer a fruitful route and that Saddam Hussein posed a threat to the United States. So that's what Bush did. I mean, we saw the whole charade of going to the United Nations. The United Nations weapons inspectors said, look, we can't find any of these weapons of mass destruction. Please give us more time. France, Germany, Russia all were asking for more time. And Bush and Blair just said, forget it. We want war. We're going to war. And so that's what they did. That's against the UN Charter, as Kofi Annan himself has said. And while Congress gave Bush a blank check, that didn't mean it was a totally legal war.
Now, he claims, I believe, also that particular resolution by Congress also gives him the authority to do wiretaps and subvert FISA. Isn't that also right?
It's the authorization of force, of military force against Afghanistan and Al-Qaeda in September of 2001, right after 9/11. He cites that one as the justification, because that authorization of force says the president can use force against Al-Qaeda and other countries and individuals and groups that are helping Al-Qaeda. And so what Bush said, well, this lets me go to war against Al-Qaeda. It doesn't stipulate which means I can use. I can decide whatever means or tactics I want in this war against Al-Qaeda, because, number one, Congress just gave me that authorization, and, number two, I'm commander-in-chief. Now, the problem is that the U.S. Supreme Court says just because you're in a state of war doesn't give you a blank check. That was Sandra Day O'Connor just almost 2 years ago, writing for the majority of the Supreme Court in the Hamdi case, the case of the U.S. citizen Yasser Hamdi, who was held in solitary confinement without access to the courts for a couple years. So the other aspect about Bush's claim there is how vast and wide arranging it is. Essentially, Bush is saying that if he suspects that there's an Al-Qaeda group in Madison, Wisconsin, where I'm from, he could order an F-16 to bomb Madison, Wisconsin, because the Congress gave him a wide latitude to choose tactics. Well, that would be one tactic, but is that really what the president has the power to do right now?
I don't think so.
I'm sitting here.
Well, the other thing, too, that I think is really, you know, telling about, they started out with Gonzalez, you know, and he has just the entire policy of torture that has been endorsed and has been put into practice is not, you know, we've done a number of stories on this radio program about some of the stuff that's been happening within the United States in sheriff's departments that really I believe is the bleeding down, if you will, of this sort of this national policy now that we have of torturing people. You know, there was an incident down in Florida about, I want to say, a month ago, where at one of these youth boot camps, where this young man was basically killed by the sheriff's deputies because he was unruly.
Yes, that's a really good point, Bruce. And, you know, people are horrified and should be horrified by what happened at Abu Ghraib. But actually, a lot of the brutality that we saw and the kinds of brutality at Abu Ghraib, that is not that different from what goes on in the United States. I mean, our investigative reporter here for the Progressive, Anne Marie Cusack, has written about the so-called restraint chair, also called the devil's chair, where they strap you in and leave you in this chair for hours, sometimes days on end, and you defecate and urinate on yourself, and then sometimes the guards will beat you while you're in the chair or spray chemicals into your face while you're in the chair, and several people have died as a consequence of this maltreatment here in the United States. And now they're using that chair, guess where? In Guantanamo Bay. And so a lot of the really venal practices began here in the United States or have been going on here in U.S. prisons and jails. Also, a lot of what we've been seeing at Abu Ghraib and elsewhere is pretty much standard operating procedure for the CIA. Now, this isn't the first time the U.S. has been torturing. Since World War II, the U.S. has been torturing and training other people to torture throughout Central America and Latin America and the Philippines. The CIA has manuals on how to do that. The CIA actually translated those manuals into Spanish in the 1980s for the Contras, in Reagan's war against Central America. And a lot of the techniques are spelled out in those documents. So as much as I was horrified by Abu Ghraib, I got to say I wasn't terribly surprised.
Well, and you know, I kind of was. I mean, I guess because mainly there's this part of me that didn't want to believe that we were capable of doing some of these things.
Well, you especially in the same prison where Saddam Hussein was carrying out torture. I mean, that was a little bizarre, but you know, when essentially the rules don't apply to us, that's what happens. I mean, whenever you have a power discrepancy between a guard and a prisoner, that's rife for abuse anyway. And then when the commander-in-chief is saying, you know, the Geneva Conventions don't apply, or when Rumsfeld is saying, or when his deputies like General Miller are saying, you know, we got to soften these guys up, we need intelligence better intelligence, better information on the double, the people down further on the line, you know, what are they going to do? A lot of them are just going to say, well, boss wants us to put the screws to these people. And then it also lets loose every sadistic impulse by every half-crazed person in a uniform, as we saw at Abu Ghraib itself. So it all is very sick once you look at it.
It is. Well, I wanted to sort of shift. I mean, you know, we're talking about the impeachment. The latest effort, actually the real visible effort that's going on right now, is really sort of a step back from that, and that's censure. And, you know, Russ Feingold introduced a resolution, I believe, on the Senate floor last Monday. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and I love Russ Feingold. He's my senator here. And while I wish it would have been straight up for impeachment like John Conyers from Detroit is trying to do there on the House, at least explore the grounds for impeachment, Feingold, to his credit, said what Bush has been doing with this NSA scandal is right in the middle of the strike zone of what our founders considered an impeachable offense. So it's not like Feingold thinks it doesn't merit impeachment. He just thinks practically it's better to go through this censure motion rather than go through the whole rigmarole of impeachment. You know, I'm for the rigmarole. Let's have it. But so the really dispiriting thing that happened after Feingold came through with that censure bill was where were the other Democrats? Except for Tom Harkin of Iowa and Barbara Boxer of California, all the other Democrats were fleeing Feingold as though he was, you know, dishing out poison.
I know that's very disappointing, and still, I mean, you know, still today. But you know, the good thing is that he's standing his ground, and I think, you know, for the long run, I mean, that will pay off for him. But I think that we have to have someone to stand out there and to say, you know what, enough is enough.
Yeah, and so I'm very pleased he's doing that. I actually saw Ted Kennedy on Face the Nation this morning, and he was asked straight up about censure, and he didn't answer straight up. He kind of waffled on it, but he did say that if the Bush administration continues with this NSA policy and doesn't try to straighten up its act, and it shows absolutely no sign that it's going to straighten up its act, then Kennedy said more senators will come around to the censure idea. And, my God, if Ted Kennedy can't get behind censure, I don't know why he can't, but certainly he ought to be able to. Any Democrat with a safe seat should be able to. Any Democrat with a spine or a sense of principle should be able to get behind it, too.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, the other part of this, too, is that, you know, when you said that the president isn't showing any evidence of cleaning up his act, I mean, you know, the whole thing about the signing statements that with the Patriot Act. I mean, you know, here is the single most restrictive piece of legislation that you know, trounces all over our civil liberties, and he says he's not even going to honor the reporting mechanisms.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these signing statements, same thing with the torture bill that McCain put through that passed something like, you know, 94-1 or something, and Bush then put the signing statement and says, I'll enforce this to the extent that it doesn't interfere with my duties as commander-in-chief. Well, that means that the law is completely useless, and the paper isn't, you know, it's just not worth the paper it's written on. And so what Bush is doing here is he's essentially lopping off one of the three branches of government, and that's the legislative branch, because he is deciding with his pen, not by vetoing, which is in the Constitution, but by writing these signing statements that he's going to sign it, make it law, and then not enforce the law. And that's just not what we've got going here. That's not what the founders set up. And these signing statements are very troubling from a constitutional standpoint. And if members of Congress had any even institutional backbone, they would be standing up to Bush on this, leaving aside whether you're Democrat or Republican or whether you agree with Bush on, you know, the way he's waging the war on terror. But just as far as love of the Constitution or an institutional self-respect, I would think more people in Congress would be stepping up. It really isn't a partisan issue here. The issue is whether we're going to have a democracy or whether we're going to have a monarchy. And, you know, I hope we have a democracy, and I hope Democrats and some Republicans, too, are going to say, look it, this guy has gone way too far.
He has absolutely gone way too far. I'm talking presently with Matt Rothschild, the editor-in-chief of the Progressive Magazine. And, you know, Matt, I just wanted to, first of all, again, say thank you for coming on the program. But, you know, we have a situation, I believe, where if something doesn't happen this fall with a change in the leadership in the Congress, basically this is a blank check for him to finish out his term and put whatever, you know, means he wants to in place to ensure, you know, the almost, I would say, dictatorial power of the what they call the unitary executive. And, you know, I'd like to know your thoughts on that. What do you think, besides, if we don't get a Democratic majority in the House this fall or in the Senate, what other means are at our disposal to get rid of this president?
Well, I think what we need to do, leaving aside the elections in November, and if the Democrats can't gain seats in November, I mean, they should give it up. Then they can't, you know, then they're useless. They can't sell popcorn at a movie theater or peanuts at a baseball game. I mean, what can they do, you know? But what we need to do is mass protests in the streets. That's why I like the protests over the last few days for immigrant rights in Los Angeles and in Milwaukee and in Chicago and in New York and all over the place. We need to really bring business as usual to a halt, as we did during the Vietnam War days, as the Civil Rights Movement did. If Bush is going to continue to push these anti-democratic, these anti-constitutional measures, the people need to rise up. I mean, that's all there is to it. We cannot stand for this kind of lawlessness by the President of the United States and the Vice President. And, you know, even if his poll numbers are real low, he still has enormous power. That's what concerns me now. I still think this guy is going to bomb Iran, for instance, before he leaves office. I still believe he's going to have 100,000 U.S. troops in Iraq on January 20th, 2009 at 11:59 a.m. if he's not kicked out sooner. So, you know, we've got Bush, unless this impeachment stuff works, we've got Bush to live with for 3 years, but we don't need to live with him in any sort of quiet way. We got to be noisy and as militant as we can be nonviolently to raise a little hell here.
Well, and I think that's the other thing that I was going to ask you about, too, is that it is truly amazing to me. There were 500,000 people in Los Angeles yesterday, which was the largest number of people ever to assemble there for anything. And yet, you know, we haven't seen these same numbers with regard to the war in Iraq. We haven't seen these same numbers with regard to protesting this president. What do you think can be done to create linkages across the spectrum to rally people behind the idea that, you know, it's not the law that they should be protesting, but the very people who are putting this law in place?
Well, I think there is a groundswell of support out there for impeachment and for censure. I've seen polls that showed anywhere between 40% and 52%, 40% and 46% in favor of censure. I've seen a Zogby poll that said 53% of the American people would be in favor of impeachment if it could be demonstrated that Bush lied the country into war, and that's easily demonstrated. 52% in favor of impeachment if it can be demonstrated that Bush violated the law by spying on U.S. citizens. That, too, can be easily demonstrated. So I think there is a tremendous appeal at the grassroots and a majority sentiment for impeachment of this president. The odd thing is that the mainstream media and the people who try to set the agenda for this country in Washington and in New York are so downplaying and backpedaling this issue that people aren't really knowing that their neighbors agree with him and want to get this guy impeached.
Sure. Well, and I wonder, yeah, of course, the media is playing a huge role in this, too.
Yeah,
which, by the way,
like the gatekeepers, you know, they act like, you know, the former publisher at the Washington Post, after the Iran-Contra scandal broke, Catherine, what's her name, said that we can't have another impeachment here. Catherine Graham said we can't, as a nation, go through another embroilment of impeachment as we did with Richard Nixon. The country can't stand for it. What is that kind of paternalism? Who are they to treat us like little kids who can't, you know, stand to have another fight between their parents? That's not the government that we have here. We put those people in power. They work for us. And if we think they're doing a bad job, we can fire them. That's what impeachment is. And especially when the crime is so grave that Bush is committing. I mean, he wants to lop off not just the legislative branch, but the judicial branch, too, and just completely disobey anybody in the way that he is conducting his duties as commander-in-chief. That should scare people.
It definitely scares me. I know that, you know, that, well, the very fact that the NSA came out Friday and said that they don't care whether they don't how do they put it, they don't discriminate based, you know, whether a communication is doctor-patient or lawyer-client privilege, you know, it doesn't matter to them that they'll record it regardless.
They can record, the NSA can record every phone call in the U.S. and every email in the U.S. Every single email that you send, the NSA can get. And the NSA, the people who are doing the recording of these conversations and the grabbing of these emails, they don't have to go to a single judge. They don't have to go to the attorney general himself. You know, all they need to do is just grab it themselves. Bush has given them the authority, the NSA itself and the people who are in charge of the eavesdropping, the authority to go after anybody they want. There's no probable cause of law breaking, as is necessary in the Fourth Amendment. You know, there's no warrants. You know, this just makes a mockery of our Fourth Amendment rights.
It absolutely does. I know that the other thing too is just, you know, there's this pervasive FBI activity of surveilling domestic groups such as the American Friends Service Committee.
I mean, it's not just the FBI either. I think the sad truth is, Bruce, that every law enforcement agency in this country, we should assume, is spying on us, some of it legally and some of it illegally, from the lowliest campus police officer all the way up the line to the city cops and the county sheriffs and the state police and the National Guard to the FBI, the NSA, the CIA, and even Rumsfeld's Pentagon's getting into the act, going after, you know, AFSC people, Quakers, raging grannies, you know, these old ladies who come dress up in 1920s outfits and bring cookies and lemonade to peace rallies. You know, they're being spied on, too, by the Pentagon. You know, they're taking down whoever is there. You know, this is really, really not what we should expect in our country, where we have freedom to speak, freedom to assemble, freedom to ask for a redress of grievances without, you know, the cops taking down our names or video taping us at peace rallies. Now, after Ashcroft came in, they removed the idea that you needed to have probable cause before you could start recording people in public who are just exercising their rights, probable cause that there's a crime being committed. Now there's no need for probable cause whatsoever. The police, law enforcement, FBI can go record whatever you're saying in public, start a file on you. They can infiltrate your groups. They can act as agent provocateurs, as they did in the 1960s and 1970s in the Council Pro program that J. Edgar Hoover ran against the American Indian Movement and the Black Panthers and Martin Luther King. I mean, this is a huge flashback.
And it's actually probably, I would say, even more pervasive now than it was then.
Yeah, well, this NSA spying thing is worse than what was going on back then, maybe more vast. I think we're only seeing right now the trunk of the elephant. We're not seeing the whole magnitude of this spying scandal. I think there are going to be, you know, other revelations, and we're going to see just how gigantic this invasion of our privacy is. I mean, it's pretty huge already, but there have been signs that, you know, there's a lot more to come here, and we only know not the half of it, the tenth of it. And so that's why I think the heat is going to continue to build on Bush for impeachment because of this. And also because of the Iraq War, because that's just a huge disaster, and people know it in every county of this country, because we're burying people in every county of this country, and wounded U.S. soldiers are coming back to home in every county of this country. And Bush and Rumsfeld can't just keep saying, well, it's great over there, except it's the media's fault because they're playing up how bad it is. You know, that's just not going to sell when people come back and tell their stories.
It definitely isn't, you know, and I think I also read where fully 70% of soldiers are in favor of getting out of Iraq now. Is that right?
Right. More than 70%. It was either 72 or 77% of U.S. soldiers think not only should they go home, and of course, if you're a soldier over there, who wouldn't want to come home, but that the whole U.S. military should leave Iraq within 1 year. And Bush told us at his press conference last week there are going to be U.S. soldiers there for the next president, maybe the next one.
As if he had control over that.
Well, you know, maybe he wants to be president for another 8 years. I don't know.
That begs the question, you know, if he is so easily to thwart all of these amendments, what about the 18th? Or is it the 18th Amendment that's the two-term? Or is it 14?
I don't know. I'd have to grab my constitution right here. Hold on. But, I mean, it's an interesting question, Bruce, because, you know, I'm not one of those paranoid lefties who thinks, you know, the Republicans forever or the right wing forever has been marching us to fascism. But right now, I mean, there is no low that these people won't stoop to. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, given what happened in Florida, given what happened in Ohio, and given all the other shenanigans that the Bush administration has been pulling, you know, are they going to go peacefully? I get asked that almost every time I give a speech in public. And I just, frankly, at this point, I can't say for sure that they would. That's the amazing thing.
Wow.
It's Amendment 22, by the way, that no person shall be elected the office of president more than twice. But it's a scary thought that Bush is so drunk with power, the people around him are so drunk with power. I call them megalochaniacs. They're so drunk with power that they'll try to finagle a way not to yield power democratically in 2008. And remember, there was that trial balloon that they put aloft there right before the elections in 2004, where they insinuated that if there was another terror attack, maybe we'd have to postpone the elections. Remember, they had this cockamamie idea about someone at Homeland Security being able to unilaterally postpone the elections. That didn't go over real big, so they stopped talking about it, but it gives you an idea where they're leaning.
Exactly. And I think there was a bill that was introduced in the House of Representatives to repeal the 22nd Amendment also.
Well, there's one reason they won't do that, though, and that's Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton could run and win tomorrow, I think. For all his troubles, Bill Clinton would get elected easily next time, I think.
Matthew Rothschild, editor of the Progressive Magazine, thank you for joining us on All Things with Bruce Birch.
Bruce, it's been my pleasure. Let's do it again.
I will. I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Thanks, man. And that was Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, and we had a little conversation there about impeachment and about the president. Matt is a editor, like I said, editor of the Progressive, wonderful progressive, and great to have a conversation with. And thank you so much, Matt, for joining us. My name is Bruce Birch. We're going to go directly to our head-on radio network news. We'll be back right after the top of the hour.
On Radio News, I'm Bob Kincaid. The United States Senate will look into censuring George Bush in the coming week. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter quietly announced in a one-sentence statement Friday that a hearing on Senator Russ Feingold's censure resolution will be held on Friday, March 31st. Specter agreed to the hearing only after Senator Feingold said he would demand that the resolution be taken to the floor of the full Senate for a vote if no hearing was held. Iraqi Shiites are blaming the U.S. military for killing as many as 20 worshippers Sunday in gun battles around a Baghdad mosque. Some witnesses say that's not entirely correct. They say the innocent civilians were caught in a crossfire between Iraqi militia and U.S. soldiers. Elsewhere, dozens of bodies were found in Baghdad, having been previously tortured and beheaded. Gas pump groans got a little worse in the past week around the United States. The price for a gallon of regular unleaded jumped 15 cents per gallon over the last 14 days. The average price per gallon stands at $2.50 a gallon. The Lundberg survey says some of the price increases are a direct result of the Bush administration's energy giveaway bill that was signed last August. True to form, the racist backlash has begun following Saturday's marches for immigrant justice. Colorado Republican Congressman Tom Tancredo told a Denver newspaper that the protests would have been smaller if only immigration officials had checked IDs and hauled off illegal aliens. 50,000 people turned out in Denver Saturday to protest Republican policies that would make criminals out of some of America's hardest working people. And speaking of racists, Supreme Court Justice Tony Scalia doesn't think human rights apply to prisoners in the U.S. concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. That's the word in an article published Sunday in Newsweek. In a private appearance in Switzerland on March 8th, Scalia called Europeans who object to the U.S. concentration camps, quote, hypocrites. When asked if the concentration camp survivors deserved a fair trial, Scalia responded, quote, give me a break, unquote. Scalia will sit in judgment on an appeal of a Guantanamo prisoner's rights case in the coming months. This is News on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Check.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap, renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel. Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Poor Terri Schiavo's family has resurrected the war of words that swirled around her death. Books will debut this week by both sides of the controversy. Her parents returned to their long disproven libels, accusing their former son-in-law of abusing the brain-dead woman. Terri Schiavo's parents and brother also sold the list of people who sent them notes of condolence to a right-wing marketing firm. British Prime Minister Tony Blair will do his best George Bush impression Monday in Australia. Blair is slated to deliver an address to the Australian Parliament in Canberra. Advance reports say that he will tell the Australians that they must continue to fight and die in the illegal war that he and George Bush started. No one knows yet why Mary Winkler shot her fundamentalist preacher husband, but we do know she's sorry about it. Mrs. Winkler sent a note of apology to her husband's congregation on Sunday. Pam Killingsworth said Sunday that Mrs. Winkler told her that she was sorry for everything she had done. Mary Winkler has confessed to shooting her husband Matthew in the back with a shotgun. Police will only say that infidelity was not the motive. The Winklers had three young daughters. Moderate Islamic clerics in Afghanistan may not get to execute a Christian after all as they had hoped. Sources close to the tense situation say that the prosecutor in the case may withdraw the charges of apostasy for lack of evidence. Other sources say the court will find Rahman to be incompetent to stand trial. There's also speculation that Abdul Rahman, 41 years old, will be sent into exile. And finally, the few, the proud, the elderly. Sonia Goldstein of San Diego recently got a letter from the Marine Corps encouraging her to sign up. The Marines said they could use Sonia's unique language skills. Sonia said she only speaks English. She also said she's 78 years old. In addition, she said she uses a walker. For the Head-On Radio Network, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Camarillo Brillo flaming out along ahead.
All right, you're back with Bruce Birch. All things with Bruce Birch. It's about 7 minutes after the top of the hour. We just had a fantastic conversation with Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine out of Madison, Wisconsin. I'm going to go ahead and plug the Progressive. We play his Progressive Points of View at the bottom of the hour of both hours of this show every week, and I have long appreciated his take on the current political climate in the country. because he says some things that are fairly inflammatory, but, you know, are based in absolute fact. And, you know, the bottom line is that we are not going to be able to take this country back and create the kind of country and the kind of democracy that we're supposed to have in the United States without saying some things that are going to be a little bit inflammatory and without saying some things that are going to be, what's the word I'm looking for here, folks? Maybe you can help me out. Controversial, that's it, controversial. Because the bottom line here is that, you know, this president, as we just talked about a few minutes ago, this president has illegally wiretapped us. He has, created a climate of spying, domestic spying throughout the nation, where we have Homeland Security terrorism experts in every police department across the United States. And what do you think? Who do you think those folks spy on? Do you think it's? Do you think they spy on the local Arab mosques? I'm sure they do. I'm also pretty sure that they also spy on anti-war groups. I'm sure they probably also spy on, the Quakers and whoever else might be remotely against the policies of this president. I know here locally in Greensboro, North Carolina, where I am located, we had a situation where it was a protest against basically to drown out Bush's lies on the State of the Union address night on January 31st. Seven young people got arrested for standing in between, an unidentified police officer and the cars that he was videotaping. They got arrested for that. He pulled a gun on them. Never did identify himself. And he's supposed to be, apparently, as the truth has come out over the last few weeks, months, this man is the terrorism expert for the Greensboro Police Department. So go figure. You know, what was he doing? Was he surveilling terrorists? No, he was surveilling anti-war protesters. He was surveilling people who disagree with the totalitarian direction that this country is going down. And this is happening all over the country. You know? Now, is it legal for someone to videotape us? Or to videotape me? Sure, it's legal. Absolutely legal. Is it legal for me to then stand in front of a policeman who is videotaping cars? I don't know if it's legal or not, but I know that it's legal for him to videotape. Doesn't mean it's right, though. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's morally okay, and I got to tell you, you know, when we talk about terrorism, the very definition of terrorism, you know, and I'll look it up here in a second. Matter of fact, I'll look it up right now while I'm talking because I want to, I want to make this point that terrorism itself, the very definition of terrorism is about creating fear. It's about changing actions by creating fear. And dictionary.com says the unlawful use, terrorism is the unlawful use or threatened use of force or violence by a person or an organized group against people or property with the intention of intimidating or coercing societies or governments, often for ideological or political reasons. Now, I don't know if the police are threatening violence, but, you know, if someone is surveilling a group that you're involved in, isn't that going to make you want to stop going to that group? Isn't that going to make you want to change your behavior? I'd like to hear about it. What do you think about this? You can call me. I'd love to hear from you. That's 1-877-443-2366. Is the telephone number. We'll pick up the dime for the call. So if you do want to call in and talk about impeachment, I'd love to hear from you. You know, one of the things that Mr. Rothschild was talking about in his presentation to us tonight was the torture, and was basically saying some things that I hadn't heard before, and one of those was this whole. He called it the chair. I can't remember the term, but I will definitely listen to the show later and find out. it was the chair, where you sit someone in a chair, and they beat them, they make them defecate, urinate on themselves, they make them, they come along and beat them. Several people have died. He said this actually came out of our prisons within the United States and into the concentration camps. That just blows my mind that that is an SOP, a standard operating procedure within our jails. You know, and folks, I got to tell you, that's another term. That's another terrorism. Another example of using that, and that is violence. That is the calculated use of violence against civilians in order to attain goals that are political or religious or ideological in nature. This is done through intimidation or coercion or instilling fear. There you go. Now, Russ Feingold. Let's talk about Feingold for a minute. But I'd love to hear from you if you want to talk about this. And actually, after the bottom of the hour, we're going to do a quick half hour, the last half hour of the show. We're going to try to tie this into some of the immigration stuff that's going on. But, you know, let's talk about Russ Feingold for a minute. Now, here's a guy who stands out there in front of everyone, you know, knows that he's got an unpopular stance, at least among his peers in the Senate, and says, I believe that the president broke the law. I believe that the president's actions were totally without basis in the Constitution. And he stands out there and basically calls the president everything but a blue-eyed criminal. You know, and which is absolutely the truth. How is it absolutely the truth? Well, the president in 2004 in Buffalo, New York, while he was on the campaign trail running for his second term in office, says that wiretaps, he says, whenever you hear about it, by the way, whenever you hear wiretap, the government has to get a warrant for a wiretap. Well, that's what he said in 2004, but for 3 years, up until that point, for 3 years, his government had been surveilling telephone calls without a wiretap. Now, that begs a couple of things. That begs a couple of things come to mind. First thing is that he may not ever have even known at that time that he gave the speech, he may not ever have known that the NSA was doing this. He may not have been the one who authorized it. It may have been, Dr. Strange himself, Dick Cheney. I mean, you know, at the Gridiron Club recently, Bush basically said that Dick runs, I run the country, Dick runs me, and Lynn runs Dick. So what does that tell you? Anyway, so Feingold stands out there and he calls the president everything but a blue-eyed criminal. And who stands beside the president but none other than Barbara Boxer, which, you know, I guess we could pretty much assume that would happen, and Tom Harkin. Now, where's John Kerry? Where's Mr. Arriving and Showing Up for Duty? Nowhere to be seen, folks. Hedging his bets, just like the rest of them. And I, for one, who is, I'm fed up with these guys. I really am. And I'll tell you why I'm fed up with them. I'm fed up with them because, to me, it is just an amazing thing. That they don't even want to stand beside one of their own when it comes time to hold a president accountable who's broken the law. Just amazes me. This is All Things with Bruce Birch. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be back very shortly. Call us, 1-877-443-2366. My dub, and give you that potato-headed surprise.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle
me. It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business. Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS. What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. Find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
All right, you're back on All Things with Bruce Birch. Glad to be back with you. It's about 21 minutes past the hour here on this one wonderful Sunday evening in the, minus 5 to minus 8 time zone. Still Sunday evening. I understand that I have a good pal on the line with me, Steady, from Southern California. How you doing, bud?
Good, Bruce, and hi everyone to the horn chat room there. That's really cool with the icons, all your things, and a little migration. See, everybody got the word, and we're hanging out in a new chat room, souped up in a new environment.
Yeah. What's on your mind? How you doing tonight, Sted?
I'm doing good. I'm actually trying to get out of the range of the phone there, so we don't have any feedback. We've had a really busy week here trying to secure things around the house and tighten up my paperwork and, you know, maintain my good name, if you will. It's been under attack, and it's no surprise in the basis of, you know, trying to file as a citizen candidate and run for Congress. I don't think the two were related, but again, now that my name's out there and these authorities are looking at things going around my house, I believe that they've suspected the worst, and they're acting in that manner and treating me like I'm guilty before proven innocent, if you will. But Rowdy has come over here, and she's actually been here for more than a week, helping me with my paperwork and squaring my stuff away so I can be, well, if paperwork can be bulletproof, that's what we're trying to do, is get my paperwork in order so anyone can look at the books or ask for anything regarding money or anything at all. And I can whip up a piece of paper and say, here, oh, you say this? Well, look at this. This is what I say it's like. And there's been a lot of different things going on with Miss Myrtle and her family and where I live. And I guess I gave that update a couple weeks ago, but we went to court last week, and there's been temporary restraints and things from changing around my household, but the end result is not known. And what I'm doing by way of my personal life right now has definitely stifled my campaign, but we're not out. We're not out by any stretch of the imagination. Around the district here and talking to people who are watching the Santa Barbara Progressive Coalition and other things like that, they're out doing precinct walks, and there is one Democratic challenger. That's it. Before we got to the filing period, it was myself and three others, and it was looking like a hearty debate was going to take place in this race, and it just, you got one candidate, Jill Martinez, and we're going to try to liven that up. But first, before I can get out there and really, you know, campaign seriously, take this and run, I've got to batten down the hatches on this paperwork and clear my name from all the allegations that have been brought up since I filed. It's really a shame. And people in the district, if they realized what was going on to a potential congressional candidate in their district, they would be pretty upset, especially when it's, there is no basis or premise or, you know, reality to the charges that are being brought against me. I don't know. It's really kind of a tough situation. I can't go into too much detail about it because sure. It's happening right now, and I'm just going to let them make their move. But Bruce, I thank you for all the support, man. This show and the people who are there have really, you know, without this show, there'd be no campaign, no internet, no Michael Stellar for Congress. I just wouldn't have the launch pad, if you will, in which your show has provided. I got a question for you, though. You're starting to call your show All Things. Is
yes.
there some reason why it's not All Things Reconsidered still?
Well, I knew this question was going to come up at some point. And to be honest with you, you know, because the bottom line is that, you know, as we grow, you know, I wanted to sort of ensure that we are remaining fully not in violation of any sort of trademark or copyright law or anything like that with regards to the NPR program.
Okay.
And yeah, that's really the only consideration. And that is also to sort of keep in mind that this is, you know, this is what we pretty much do. We talk about everything here. So it just seemed to fit.
Well, I'd love to go into more detail about this stuff, but really it wouldn't be wise at this point. But I'm going to walk back in, and Rowdy is still here at my house, and we've been working really hard, and she is just a doll, an absolute doll, and just one hell of a woman. And, Rowdy, if you hear this, I'm going to walk back into the room, and you can maybe turn the volume down, and I'll pass it off. She got some city council. She ran for city council in Covina, and part of her activity was holding the city council accountable for their secret meetings regarding a specific case in eminent domain. So I'm going to walk in and give you the phone, Rowdy, if you can turn the volume down so we don't have any feedback. I will pass her off to you because I think everybody in every city could benefit from what she has done with her work in the city council. So let's see if we can get that to her. Hey, down, babe. There you go.
Well, how you doing there? Yeah, this is Rowdy.
Hi, Rowdy.
Hey, so I guess maybe this is one of your first pass-off calls, but I got some news to share.
Okay.
And hopefully you'll find it interesting. I don't know if you've covered too much of the eminent domain proceedings, Supreme Court decision here a while back, Kelo versus New London. that kind of changed things with respect to eminent domain in America and
sure.
the ability of city governments and county governments and state governments to take land from private property owners for public use was changed by Kelo versus New London so that now private property can be taken for public purpose, which is a significantly different phrasing that allowed a lot more taking and kind of cleared the way for municipalities in particular to secure real estate that otherwise would not have been available to them by a legal process of taking land basically from one party from a private property owner and kind of giving it potentially to another private property owner who perhaps promised to bring in more sales tax revenue through their use of the property. And for cities that are struggling in this time, which a lot of cities are, that came as a real plum for them to come forward with. Anyway, that's just a little background. We've got a couple of situations happening in my hometown that are related to that action that were stimulated, in fact, by that Supreme Court decision. And I pay a lot of attention to what's going on locally because while there's a lot going on the big scale, there's a lot going on really close to home, too, and it's really tough to keep up with everything. But in Covina, we have got our city's trying to take a couple of people's property and give it over to auto dealerships because auto dealerships can generate a lot of tax revenue because they sell big ticket items and so they generate a lot of tax revenue. So that's really tempting to cities to try to bring in car dealerships and to get land from other uses and other property owners to give to car dealerships because they will bring in more tax revenue and have more money for their budgets. So that's the argument. And so we have a number of folks involved in properties that are under threat in that regard. And our city has been not very well behaved about its open meetings laws. They have to entertain all these types of actions in compliance with the Brown Act, which is a law in the state of California that kind of relates to the Freedom of Information Act, but it's really tied to open meetings and the point that, you know, meetings have to follow a certain process of noticed in the newspaper and availability of agendas and no funny business with the closed sessions and all that stuff. Well, our city's been having kind of some funny business in that regard. And so myself and a couple of good friends of mine who also pay really close attention to what's going on in the city have been, you know, sort of attempting to act against them for their violations of the Brown Act. They hold unnoticed closed session hearings. They don't give enough information. They don't make agendas available when they should be, and they talk about things in secret that aren't on the agenda. And so this is the big news. As a result of our actions, earlier this month, the district attorney for Los Angeles has filed a lawsuit against the city of Covina's redevelopment agency for failing to comply with the Brown Act. As a result of their continuing refusal to provide information required for the closed session hearing. So I just got this news today, and it's really, really exciting. Not that I like to see my city sued, you understand, but it was
Well, you know,
high
they need
time.
To follow the rules
and
like
so
everybody
that's
else.
That's the good news. My city's being sued. Hooray.
Well, they need to follow the rules like everyone else, though, right?
They sure do. The Brown Act is really important. It preserves the people's right to have access to and control over their local governments. And it's extremely crucial, and particularly in regard to issues such as this, where actually real property is at stake. The upshot of these actions, if held in secret and nobody gets to participate, the upshot is that basically poor people lose their property, and it gets turned over to people who are a whole lot wealthier and are able to promise, you know, whether they can actually come through with these promises or not, they're able to step forward and promise that they will generate more revenue for the city via their use than the maybe perhaps not so wealthy people who have held property for many, many years. And we're talking in both of the cases specifically about elderly people who own property and who are going to be having their, or who the city proposes to take their property from them for these uses. And it's just, it's appalling to see that happening, you know. And so we're really glad to see the city sued.
Okay, we're running short on time here, so I really want to tell you guys, both of you, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you bet, man.
And
have a good weekend, man.
We will, and you guys too, and keep up the good fight out there in California.
Hey, you betcha, we're holding down the fort here, man.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling.
Yep.
This is All Things with Bruce Birch. You can call in if you'd like to, 1-877-443-2366. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. Oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com. Head On. He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head On with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no Oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head On. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click On Air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head On.
Lottie in the chat room has fixed himself some stuffed pork chops with apple raisin walnut chuck.
You, me, Grace, Rama.
Mango chutney.
Hey, speaking of that,
it's all you need.
Mustard seed?
Mustard seed, yeah. That article.
It's not
there.
The same as mustard gas.
Well, it's pretty close. Mustard gas.
Join
mustard
Grace
gas.
And Rama, homebodies, Sunday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network. It's food for thought.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Hey, everybody, this is Bruce Birch. You're back on All Things with Bruce Birch. It's about 37 minutes past the hour. We've been talking about impeachment tonight, eminent domain, congressional campaigns. What else have we been talking about? We've been talking about the fact that George Bush is a criminal. Illegal wiretaps. How many people? I'd love to do this. Maybe I'll put a poll on my website. But and I'll ask this question on this poll, and that is, how many people actually think that your phone, that you have been tapped? I wonder. You know, I wonder. And I'd love to see this poll out there to the American people. I bet the results would be kind of scary, I'm thinking. I could be wrong with that. But, you know, and the reason why I say that is because I bet a bunch of people think that they're being listened in on. And you know what? They might be right. They may very well be right. Wanted to cover a few odds and ends before we get up toward the top of the hour. It's about, like I said, it's about 38 minutes after the hour. And the one of the things that I wanted to talk about was this whole thing, you know, apparently now, you know, of all people, guess who comes out and says that Bush is, that the wiretapping is outside the law? Okay, guess. No, that's not right. No, that was not right either. Okay, I'll give you a hint. Joe Mentum. Senator Joe Lieberman calls the authorization of warrantless wiretapping as part of the war on terrorism. He says it's outside the law. This is from the AP. Lieberman also said he opposes a move by a Democratic Senate colleague to censure Bush over accusations that the president unlawfully authorized wiretaps without obtaining court orders. He says, as I read the law, I think the president's tapping or surveillance without a warrant was wrong. It was outside the law. But, he says, this is an important program. I don't find anyone in Congress who thinks we ought not to be listening to the phone conversations and reading the emails of people that we think are involved in what we and that are involved in and we have reason to believe are involved in terrorist groups. But it has to be done in America, in my opinion, pursuant to the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable searches and seizures. It has to be done with a court order. This is the guy who openly kisses George Bush on the mouth. Maybe it's the kiss of death. He says again, my own opinion, and it seems to be shared by most Democratic senators, is that it would be an unproductive use of our time to censure the president. Again, it's looking backward. It would be divisive. The best thing we could do about this program is to bring it under the law. And I'd prefer to spend my time and the Senate's time figuring out how we can adopt a law that allows the administration to continue this program, but force them to go to court to get a warrant before they do. Well, apparently, Joe, you're not going to do that. It's not going to happen. Okay? Let's just look at, you know, let me... He is a moron, this guy. He says, censure would be divisive. Oh, illegal wiretapping isn't divisive? Oh, it's looking backward, he says. Let's look backward. Let's look backward a little bit. Let's look backward to the 1990s. As our friend Luke brought up earlier tonight, let's look backward to the 1990s and the rule of law that used to be the mantra of the Rush Limbaughs of the radio spectrum, and you know, these conservatives who today are bending over backward to accommodate the blatant misuse of America's forces, the blatant government-sanctioned kidnapping and torture, and the blatant government search and seizure violation of the Fourth Amendment vis-a-vis the wiretapping. Okay, Joe, now that we're done looking backward, let's look at the reality today. He also says, the best thing we could do about this program is to bring it under the law. Well, Okay, so he's echoing what John Warner was saying last week or week before last, and John Warner says basically, what we've got to do, we've got to change the law so that this isn't illegal. Well, let me, you know, there's stuff that I would like to do that's, you know, there's a million people out there, I bet, who would love to change the law so that they don't, so that they're not criminals every time they light up. But do they have that kind of power? No, they don't. But the United States Senate, which is basically an extension of the executive branch of government, and the Congress as well, the House of Representatives too, the United States Senate and the Congress would rather rewrite a law rather than prosecute the president. They would rather go through the entire rigmarole of changing the United States. Perhaps they might even want to add a new amendment to the Constitution to say that, well, you know, we've decided in 2006 that the United States Constitution is antiquated, and therefore today we are going to strike from the United States Constitution the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 12th, 22nd amendments to the Constitution because we're thinking that they're a little too quaint. And by the way, we really would like to have George Bush as president for another 25 years because he's doing such a heck of a job. We've got about 15 minutes left. It's about a quarter till the top of the hour. If you want to get in on the program, you can do so by calling 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. In the middle of all these, you know, people who are doing the insane dance in the Senate, the insane, oh, let's, you know, there's this huge elephant. I don't want to call it an elephant because that's the symbol of the Republican Party. Let's call it a snuffleupagus. Let's say there's a huge pink snuffleupagus. For those of you who aren't aware, that was a character from Sesame Street, one of Big Bird's pals. There's a great big pink snuffleupagus there in the middle of the floor of the Senate, and it's called The Illegal Activities of George W. Bush. And nobody looks at it, nobody wants to pay attention that it's there, but there's one guy who's taken off the glasses. He's quit drinking the Kool-Aid, and his name? Russ Feingold, Senator Extraordinaire. Now, Russ Feingold, yes, he wants impeachment, but he's thinking, you know, I don't think we're going to get impeachment because these people don't want to look at the snuffleupagus. So instead, let's make them look at the, let's make them do this instead. Let's say, okay, instead of like kicking the snuffleupagus out, let's actually go and spank it a little bit. Perhaps let's put it in timeout for 5 minutes. Let's put it in timeout. And then once we're done with the timeout, it'll be all better now because the president will then recognize that we are the most powerful branch of government and he will no longer break the law. Yeah, right. Like that's going to happen. And he gets a whole whopping 2 people out of 100 to go along with him. Okay, and this is the extension. Now, we have 2 branches of government now, the executive branch and the judicial branch. The legislative branch is heretofore suspended and will fall under the executive branch for the time remaining in the term of George W. Bush. I wish I could do the snuffleupagus voice. That would just be classic. So Bush says wiretapping, Lieberman says wiretapping is outside of the law, but it doesn't rise to the level of impeachable offenses. I wonder what does then. I mean, does mass murder rise to the level of impeachable offenses? Does government sanctioned torture? I mean, I'm trying to figure out now. You know, maybe that's what I'll do. If I ever get Joe Lieberman cornered and I do get an interview with him, which I'm sure he'll never come on this program now that I've said all these things about him. But if I ever do get him on this program, I'm going to ask him that. I'm going to ask him, okay, what exactly, you know, maybe you should ask a right-winger this, folks, when you're going out this week and you're doing your thing. If you run into one and you say, you know, I really think the president needs to be impeached and they look at you like you're crazy, ask them what rises to the level of impeachable offenses. Because in their view, a mistruth or a lie by a president rises to the level of impeachable offenses. Well, then ask them about weapons of mass destruction. And if they say, well, that's, you know, that wasn't really a lie, it didn't happen, well, then ask them about the fact that Bush spoke and said that the government has to get wiretaps, but then turns around and doesn't do it. Isn't that a lie? Isn't that kind of a mistruth? How about the rendition? How about kidnapping people, putting hoods over their heads? Oh, yeah, but they're terrorists. Don't you understand? They're terrorists. Them people going to try to kill us. Again, there's the Snuffleupagus sitting in the middle of the room. No one wants to look at the Snuffleupagus. The Snuffleupagus is our civil liberties, folks. And they that would give up necessary freedom for a little temporary safety deserve neither freedom nor safety. As Ben Franklin so aptly put it, we live in a fear-based country now. We live in a terrorism-based country. Why do I say that? Because we have those people who are on the right who want to operate from a position of fear all the time. That's all they want to do. They want to operate from a position of fear. They want to tell us that you and I, our freedoms, are more important. Our freedoms are more important . So what we have to do is we have to take away everybody's, we have to take away your freedom in order to preserve your freedom. What kind of freaking sense does that make, folks? Does it make any sense at all? I'm sorry, but it doesn't. To me, it does not make any freaking sense at all. Why doesn't it make any sense? Because it's totally in complete opposite world, all right, as we've used the term before. You want to take away my freedoms to preserve my freedoms. You want to remove my civil liberties because we got to keep America freedom, free and strong. Freedom's on the march. Freedom's on the march. Freedom is on the march in Afghanistan, where recently the Afghan government, which, by the way, the case was dismissed today, but there was a guy on trial, a death penalty trial, for converting to Christianity. Freedom's on the march. And you know what? If someone says to me that whatever the government doing is not affecting them, I challenge them to think of it in these terms. What if Hillary Clinton were president and was doing these things? I don't think the right-wingers would be all so happy about supporting Hillary Clinton in warrantless wiretapping. Do you? I don't think the right-wingers would be very happy with Hillary Clinton having people kidnapped and put on airplanes and flown to places like Morocco for torture. Do you? I don't think they'd be very happy with that. As a matter of fact, I think they would probably enact, you know, investigations that would cost billions of dollars to accomplish. And I think that they would probably, you know, I mean, God, they just recently concluded the Whitewater investigation after 9 years, 10 years, something like that. Insane, these folks. And if someone says to me, you're no less, you know, I ain't no less freer, then they need to, you know, bottom line is there's some people we're not going to reach. Okay, that's the first thing. The first thing, there's some people out there that we're not going to reach. The second thing is that, you know, you have to think outside of the box a little bit, folks. This is what I tell people, is that just because this hasn't personally entered your life doesn't mean, you know, that freedom, you know, that our freedoms haven't been reduced and that someday it won't affect you. And the bottom line here is that it's not all about me and my selfish little world. It's about all of us because, as the song says by Ben Lee, we're all in this together. And we have the responsibility as a nation, if we don't get a Democratic majority, you know, and I got to tell you, I don't know that I'm all too sure that even if we do get a Democratic majority in Congress this fall, that those people will impeach this guy. Because they haven't shown any leadership at all whatsoever in regards to any kind of, you know, censure of this president or any kind of, you know, message to him to say, you're doing the wrong thing. So I don't know that we should rely on that. I think I'll go with what Matt Rothschild said earlier, and that we need to hit the streets. We need to put our feet in the street, and it's time for us to go out there and to say to this president, you know what? Your actions are against the law. Your actions are completely bogus, and we aren't going to stand for it any longer. And if we don't do that, guess what we're doing? We're laying down. We're saying, okay, it's fine. It's okay, Mr. President. Here, you want me to hook up the tap for you? It's okay, Mr. President. Here, let me put the hood on. Let me put the hood over my head for you. I can walk to the van. It's okay. So we basically are saying to the President of the United States, your illegal activities are fine. Thank God we have dissent in this nation. And we can say some of the things that we're being able to say tonight. And yet, 500,000 people yesterday showed up to speak out against a law that would make them criminals. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Bruce Birch. This has been All Things with Bruce Birch. We come to you every Sunday night, 10 p.m. on the East Coast and 7 p.m. on the West Coast. And all points in between, you got to figure that out yourself. I'm figuring you're smart enough if you're listening to this program. We're part of the Head On Radio Network, which is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Each and every Sunday night. Drop me an email this week. Let me know what you're thinking. All things at allthingsreconsidered.org. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to submit to you one last thing before we go off the air tonight. And that is that if we don't do this now, if we don't tell this president now that what he's doing is wrong, then when will we do it? And if not us, who will do it? I submit to you that it's us, that it needs to be us, and that we need to do it. My name's Bruce Birch. This has been All Things. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. And when the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright. And a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be all right. That's how it felt to be alive. After the revolution, from Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the revolution, prison doors swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square.